Also, I want to say, last Sunday, I was sharing about, that may we never have the need to go to the hospital. I want you to know that I'm not against doctors. I have one in my family. So I cannot use my money to train doctors and also be on the board that regulates medical profession in this province for me to be anti-doctors. No. Government appointed me to ensure that we have quality healthcare delivery to every citizen in Saskatchewan. That's why I'm appointed. So we are hard on doctors to perform very well to make sure that they give quality medical care. So I'm not anti-doctors. So if I had said something that came out as though I'm anti-doctors, I'm saying you cannot go to the doctors, that's not true. Because why? I did mention my wife went to the doctor. You remember what happened when she had the brain aneurysm? We were praying and all of a sudden I said, devil, you are a liar. Stop this nonsense. I'm a man of faith. I'm taking my wife to the hospital. But what I was saying to you is that pray that you don't have the need to stay in the hospital more than necessary, because why? You could pick another disease in the hospital. Is that not a fact? That's exactly what I said. So please, I don't want you to go out and think that I am anti-vax. I'm anti this. I'm not anti anything. I'm anti the devil. People have to make choices they want to make, and we support your choice because God does not violate your will. He doesn't. He will not violate your will, please. This is the most vulnerable time of my own life. Please bear with us. Help us. We lost somebody here in the church. And on top of it, I lost my in-laws, father and mother, the same, almost about 48 hours interval. We're vulnerable. So please, in a family, support us. Stand with us. Pray for us. Help us. And thank you for those that have, reached out to Remy and myself, and people have flowers. I think we'll have a flower garden in our house now. Including Turning Leaf Organization from Manitoba. They sent to my wife because I serve on that board. So careful and generous and reaching out. That's what a family is all about. If an organization can do it, how much more our own family here? For those that brought food, and just lots of food, people just coming in, and thank you so much. I want to say we appreciate this family very, very much. And we're not taking for granted this family at all. Having said that, I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 14. There are five pillars I want to mention this morning of the words of a dying man. When a man like Jesus Christ was going to die, he left some principles that are so important for us to look at this morning. And I want to spend some time looking at that, if I can, if I may. If you look at John 13, all the words that are written in the words are written in red. Okay, you go to chapter 14, chapter 15 is red, chapter 16 is red, chapter 17 is red. The words of a dying man. In chapter 13, it talks about servanthood. One of the pillars that the Lord left for us before he died. The will of a man. When a man wants to die and leaves a will, this is a testament. These are important things he wants us to lay emphasis on. That's why he put it in red. So chapter 13, he says, I am your Lord, but if I can serve you, I am giving an example. Be servant to everyone. Point number one, be a servant. Serve. Then he went to chapter 14, which is what I'm going to be dealing with today. Chapter 14 is about encouragement. Don't you just love that? The Lord says, serve, but in chapter 14, he says, you cannot but encourage people. The words of encouragement must never be lacking in your lips. Encouragement. We need it all. Every one of us. Including your flower at home. When you put water on that flower, you are saying, I'm encouraging you. Grow. You water that person. Chapter 15, it wants us to be productive. Chapter 16, he talks about protection. And chapter 17, he talks about praying and praying and praying. He prayed that we will be one. His last prayers in chapter 17, the unity of the body. But today I'm going to lay emphasis on chapter 14, and I'm going to look at just two verses. And I want us to read, I have the God's Word translation. This is what it said. Verse 1. Do not be worried or upset. Do not be distressed. Another translation puts it that way. Don't be distressed. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be distressed. I cannot but emphasize this over and over and over again. Do not succumb to fear or anxiety or worry. Why did he say that? Ye believe in God, believe in me also. So what he's saying is that God is not saying the things are not happening around us. I mean, imagine the amount of things that's been happening in the nations of the world. I wish I could tell you today, the pandemic is over and it'll be over and there'll be nothing else again. I'm sorry. Read your Bible. The signs of the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ is right with us. I want to pray that everyone is healed. I want to pray that we're seeing signs, wonders, miracles. I want to see that we're just enjoying life. I want it. But that would be unscriptural. Because if I don't prepare you for what is coming or what is right before us, then I'm not doing a proper job of exegeting this word of God. I wish I could tell you that there will be no more diseases. I wish I could tell you there will be no war. I wish I could tell you there will be no distress of nations. I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could tell you our economy, oh, your dollar is going to go up to one-on-one with the United States. I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could tell you your stock market will not crash again. I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could tell you there will be no betrayal within family. I wish I could tell you there will be no death again. There's going to be death. There will be. But it says, do not be troubled. Those simple words, six simple words, let not your heart be troubled. He's not talking about one person, it's a plural here. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus was talking to his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Why were their hearts troubled? Suddenly, Jesus has told them about his impending death. In chapter 13, 31 to 33, he was talking to them about his death. You know, he served them communion. He told them, take of my flesh and eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Some of them were offended. In chapter 6 of John, when Jesus Christ was talking to them, he said, well, I know your fathers prayed for manna, they got the manna from heaven, but I am the manna that came back from heaven. I'm the bread of life that came from heaven. If you don't eat of me and you don't drink of me, you have no life in you. And people say, whoa, savage, this is cannibalism. We are offended at this guy and we're going to walk away. Just a word that he spoke. They were offended. it actually showed their heart where their heart was. Because they want victory, but they don't want to identify with suffering. Part of the fellowship of the suffering of Jesus Christ is being misunderstood. You have to know. It's part of the game, guys. It will happen. It will happen. Being misunderstood, Jesus Christ was misunderstood. He was the Savior. He was sent to them, and they called him all sorts of names. We are not born of fornication. You are born of fornication. Who is your father? We know our own father. Abraham, who is your own father? You are one barber. You're a glutton. You are dining with tax collectors, rogues and thieves and sinners. And you actually allowed a prostitute to touch you. You are not a rabbi. How come you're a rabbi? You cannot be a rabbi. And here's the Savior, the Lamb of God, in their midst. And they misunderstood everything he said. So I have nothing to defend, guys. If they did it to my master, and they did a little bit to me, it doesn't matter. And you will be misunderstood within your family. I'm not even talking about church family. I'm talking about your nuclear family. You are being misunderstood at home sometimes. How many times have your children misunderstood you and decided not to talk to you again for a while? Because you're caring for them. So this big deal about, Jesus Christ was misunderstood. And it will happen. I don't care how much you to be careful to speak out. If I want to pick out, I want to pick holes with what you're saying, I can pick it easily. But here, Jesus Christ was telling them, do not let your heart be troubled. They had just learned that one of their number is going to betray Jesus, Jesus in the hands of the enemy. They were just told. It's like, what? There'll be a betrayal amongst us? Yeah. Even Simon Peter has just been notified that he would deny the Lord Jesus three times before the money comes. Yet their hearts were heavy with sorrow and burdened with grief and questions. But even in the hour of this greatest trial, Jesus still loved his own. I love it. We cannot but continue to love people. That will be the default for me in my life. Before I take this last breath, I want to be known as someone who loved to the end. God was telling a prophet that passed on to heaven, God returning back, and he told him, he says, what's the mark of the greatest thing you've done on earth? And the Lord said, told him, you have not loved enough. Go back and love before you come back here. Please, I plead with you. Run from offenses. It's the bait of Satan. It will kill you, it will destroy you. It's called scandalon. Offense will color everything you do. Offense will kill you, will destroy you. Learn to forgive. Are you hearing me? Jesus Christ would have been offended at Judas and Simon Peter, who says, no, I'm not going to deny Lord Jesus Christ. And then he denied, he says, oh, that guy, I don't know him. Oh, I was never part of their group. Wow. You've seen miracles, signs, wonders. You've eaten with the master. You've done with the master. You've been on the boat with the master. Storms came. You were part of that. They were rescued. And yet, this man is frailty. Say, deny the Lord Jesus Christ and betrayed. It just shows that we are spirit beings having human experiences. And we got to be patient with one another. Be patient with one another. Because you don't even know what that person is going through in their own lives as well. They might have been frustrated. They might have gone through some things you don't know. Always make room for people. So here, you see, the hour of his greatest need. That's Jesus Christ. He takes the time to encourage the hearts. I love it. In the heart of your greatest need. My wife is still calling people, still talking to when she needs help. She doesn't go to bed. Sometimes 2 a.m., 3 a.m., calling Nigeria, talking to Nigeria, because they are planning funeral. Funeral is not like here where everything is prim and proper. We can just go to bed and just everything is planned and we get it done quickly. No. If we don't plan it now, December, we can't do anything. It's lost. And we're going home to have that funeral in January. So planning. It takes a lot of planning and a lot of money to do it. Oh, yes. So sometimes I look at her, I go to bed and I say, my goodness, how is she going to cope with this? In the midst of that, she's still reaching out to people, calling people and trying to minister to people out of her own distress. This is it. This is the example. In the hour of his greatest need, Jesus Christ takes the time to encourage the hearts of his disciples, elders, leaders, every one of us, inclusive. There's no excuse with this word here. In a family, even when you are in dire need, still reach out to encourage other people. That's what the Bible is saying to you. Jesus Christ, in his hour of greatest need, he was deserted. He was betrayed. So today, we live in an hour of greatest uncertainty. Changes and upheaval in our world have left many people concerned about their futures. The economy is in shambles. The world seems to be on the brink of war. People are losing their jobs. Money is tight. People are being discriminated against because they took vaccine or don't take vaccine. Everything is just chaotic. And if they come to church and they are going to be judged again, guess what? Where's the hope? Where is the hope? That's why 3 or 4 Sundays ago, I challenge us here, I say, please, let us not get into this game of you're vaccinated, I'm not vaccinated, and then we begin to divide the body. We cannot do that. Let's love one another. Let's care for one another. The ones that have the faith to take it, so be it. The ones that don't have the faith to do it, don't tell them or don't discriminate against them. If the world is doing it, we cannot do it in the church. We cannot. So Jesus has a word for you today. Sandwich between verses 1 and 27. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. In verse 27, he says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why is Jesus Christ writing this in red letter? It's because he purchased that with his blood. He purchased encouragement and wrote it there with his blood. It's written in red. That means life is involved in that word that he gave to his disciples. It's so important when you want to highlight something, you highlight it with red. You say, take note of this. Jesus Christ saying, take note of what I just told you. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be distressed. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Folks, it doesn't matter what happens in this world. It doesn't matter in this world system. It doesn't matter whether all our monies are taken away. It doesn't matter whether the economy is in shambles. If we don't have our faith, we sang it today. I put my trust in Jesus, my anchor to the ground. If your faith is not in Jesus, it's in the system, you'll be miserable. jobs. They can take away your job. They cannot take your life. Because that life is the life of Jesus that you're living inside of you. Now, the life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. That is what you are living. Some people will want what you got because they're wondering, how did she lose her job and she's still joyful? What kind of joy is that? Well, you're not happy, but you're joyful. You are not happy with what they did, but you're joyful. The joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Because as sure as there will be light and dark, you will find a place and you have a better job. I can tell you, guess what happened to Danny Bay when he interviewed for a job and thought, God, I got this job. And they told him he didn't get a job. And God says, well, I'm going to publicize you publicly. I'm going to noise what you just did. You did a good job. And they noised all over the city. And they came back and said, yeah, come in. We're going to give you another job and give him a raise and give him a better job and better pay. That's how God works. He will fight for you. He will fight. So what I have for you today is that the word of hope in a hopeless hour. That is what I plan to share with you. A word of hope in a hopeless hour. From the word of God. From verses 2 to 3 in chapter 14. Watch what it says here. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If you are not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. There is hope for tomorrow, guys. There will be tomorrow after today. Today will end. Are you hearing me? Today must end. Giving room for what? Tomorrow. So the Bible tells me clearly here, there is hope for tomorrow. What is that tomorrow? A heavenly home for you and I. Not this world. A heavenly home. Now, for those of you that say, well, Pastor, yeah, are you preaching rapture, whatever? No, I'm preaching about second coming of Christ. And we got to talk about it. Okay, but I have a job here. I know I have a job to here. I want to do that job and finish it here before I go. But I want to comfort you and encourage you. That's what Jesus Christ says to do. Encourage the people. Tell them there are mansions ready for. I've gone to prepare a place for you. If you are not so, I will not tell you. I will tell you plainly, no mansion, but I have gone ahead of you. And I'm preparing a mansion, a home, a heavenly home for you. What is that home? Wow. That was the same home that Abraham said in Hebrews chapter 11. It says he had a glimpse of it. It is worth losing his home and his family for that. That was what John on the island of Patmos saw. That it, even if he was beheaded, it didn't matter. He saw a glimpse of heaven. I tell you what, if I ever see heaven, I'm going to tell God I'm out of here. If he ever gives me a glimpse of heaven, I will beg him to take me home. Because it's a beautiful place. I will tell you, just give me one day to just give the devil a black iron before I go. Just a few hours. A heavenly home. A permanent dwelling place. This is what Simon Peter caught a glimpse of it. And he said, it's worth a total change of life. It's worth the hardship. It's worth everything. It's worth betrayal. It's worth being misunderstood. It's worth losing your job. It's worth being discriminated against for that heavenly permanent home. Don't allow anything in this world, and it will never, never, never compare with what heaven's preparing for you, what Jesus is preparing for you. If Abraham longed for it, it's my father, I'm longing for it as well. So there's hope for tomorrow. That tomorrow is that there will be a heavenly home for you. But also, there's also a heavenly hope. In this verse, verse 3, it says, Jesus reminds us that there will come a day when he will return for his people. There are some who do not believe that Jesus Christ is going to come for us, or they don't believe the rapture of the church. There will be a rapture. There can be. There will be. For in the meantime, we're here. I want to occupy before he comes. But if he doesn't come yet, I'll keep occupying until he comes. But it'll tell me that Jesus Christ is not going to take us out from this. We're not going to go back home when we die. I'm going home. And I know the place. He told me about the place. I've not seen it yet, but I trust him because I have a mansion ready for me. So there's a hope, not only for a home, but there's a hope for hope. Hope in the sense that, you know, Paul sheds a little light on the monumental event in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be all caught up. You know that verse very well in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17. People may doubt it, but I tell you what, you can mock whatever you want to mock. The world might mock us and say we're trying to escape, but I tell you what, there's a heavenly home for you and I. There's a mansion. And the hope is that it's going to happen because it's gone ahead of us to prepare the place. So, what is the hope? Hope for tomorrow. There's a heavenly home. There's a heavenly hope. But there's also a heavenly homecoming. An event where the trumpets will be blasting as you come in into the galleries of heaven. Papa, 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 welcome! You go, what? Me, an intercessor, what did I do? Ho, 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 ho! You touch many lives with your prayers. Come into the annals. Come into my embrace because you've done so well. You were misunderstood, but you did not fight back. You were crushed, but not defeated. You were put down, but you still rise up. Come into your dwelling. Homecoming is going to happen. That's the hope for tomorrow, guys. But not only that, there's help for tomorrow. Not only hope for tomorrow, but help for tomorrow. What is that help for tomorrow? There's help in salvation. Verse 4 to 11, he says it very clear. Verse 4 to 11. And whither I go, he said, you don't know. And the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Clear. God is telling us the hope for, there's help for tomorrow. You can be saved and get into that hope. I want to read a story here that I just absolutely love. A missionary, a pioneer missionary in Africa, tells how he was taking the gospel to a new tribe far to the north. With his bearers, he arrived at a village, a point beyond which his porters refused to go. The missionary appealed to the local chief. Was there someone in this village who could act as his guide to the distant northern tribe? The chief summoned a man, tall, battle-scared, carrying a large axe. A bargain was made, and the next morning the missionary set off through the bush, following this new guide. The way became increasingly rough, and the path had all but disappeared. There was an occasional mark blazed on a tree, occasionally a narrow path. Finally, the missionary called a halt. He asked the guide if he was sure he knew the way. The man pulled himself up to his full height. He says, white man, he said, you see this axe in my hand? You see those scars in my body? With this axe, I blaze the trail to the tribal village to which we go. I came from there. This curse I received when I made the way. You ask me if I know the way. Before I came, there was no way. I am the way. What does that tell you about Jesus Christ? He has the scars in his hand. He has all the stripes in his body. He knows the way to heaven. And that's a hope. And that's a help for tomorrow. You can talk to people about him. He's the way. Be confident because he's gone ahead. He came from there. He knew the way here, but he knew the way back home. I will not follow someone that doesn't know his way back to where he come from. In this passage, Jesus Christ gives us a threefold assurance. How can I be saved? He is the way. How can I be sure? He is the truth. How can I be satisfied? He is the life. Thank Jesus that he guaranteed your soul salvation. Not only is there a help for tomorrow or for salvation, but also for service. Look at chapter verses 12 to 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works I do, he shall do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father. As we live in the here and now, we can rest assured that Jesus Christ will aid us in his work. That's why he didn't leave us comfortless. He sent the Holy Spirit of God to us to help us to be able to finish this work. You are not left like orphans. There's always a paraclete around you, next to you, abiding with you. You are not an orphan. He's your comforter. He's always by your side. That's an assurance that you can tell people. You might have the world's best now, according to the system, but I got what is better than what you got. Why? I got him. I got the paraclete. I got the restrainer in me. I got a comforter. I got a teacher in me. I got a guide in me. I know where I'm going. And I'm going to be helped to finish the work that he has committed to me. And because he told me, greater work will I do. Folks, we have seen, not seen the greater work. We're going to do that, those greater works. We will. It will happen. That's what we're praying in the prayer today. Fresh anointing upon us for this service. So there's help for service. There's also help for surrender. If you don't know how to surrender, God has a way of helping you to surrender because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in you. He will help us to surrender because he first gave himself to you. So there's always a pattern. What Jesus Christ is asking us to do is not that he has not done. He did it in the flesh with the Holy Spirit of God upon him. We have hope. We have help for service. We have help for service. We have help for everything that is needed. Help for even to surrender in the midst of the pain and the agony that we're going through right now. Because when we submit to him, we know who holds tomorrow. He will do what is right for us. So we have help in the Spirit. And not only that, we also have help to be still and to know that he is God. One of the things that's missing so much is the stillness in the Spirit. Wait, we read it today again in that prayer. Wait, I say, upon me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. All these billows, all these waves, everything that's blown around us. Jesus Christ was in the boat when the storm came. They were all afraid. Careless that we perish, Master. You don't know we're going to perish here. Jesus Christ said, oh, whoa. Peace be still. So this morning, let not your heart be troubled. Do not be in distress. Don't allow yourself to get into worry. There's help for tomorrow. There's hope for tomorrow. The Lord Himself has gone ahead of us to prepare a dwelling, a permanent dwelling. This is not my place. This earthly tabernacle will fall off one day. You can cross it, you can abuse it, you can do whatever you want to do to it, but you cannot touch the spirit man. The spirit man is going to go one day and go back before him and take on this incorruptible body, and we'll be forever with him. Don't you just love that, folks? That is the hope I offer to you this morning. And so, can we be encouraged this morning? Can we be encouraged? Don't be like those men that came to him and wanted to find out about Jesus Christ, and he said, if you don't eat my flesh and don't eat my drink of my blood, you're not part of me. And they said, whoa, who is this? They ran away from him. In him we have life, and that life is the life of man. To summarize our Lord's passage this morning, and for us to face the future, we need two words: trust and obey. Amen? Trust and obey. Don't trust man. Don't trust the system. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. My anchor to the ground. My faith is in who? Jesus. If he said he's going to prepare a place for me, I believe it. He says, do not allow your heart to be troubled. I believe it. Does that mean that something around me will not happen? My mind, my will being frazzled? Yeah, it will happen. But he says, don't be troubled. He knew that you'll be troubled. But that's why he said, don't be troubled. Because what? I have overcome the world for you. Amen. So let's partake together this morning. Lord, we thank you for your broken body, broken for us. We partake together with thanksgiving in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you for this cup in which there's forgiveness of sin. The New Testament in this cup assures us of the finished work of the cross. It's done, completed. Nothing to add to it, nothing to remove. We celebrate Jesus and what he's done. Amen. God bless you. Sorry.
Sorry. So be dismissed as you go with this hope. Thank you, Apostle Femi. That was such a rich word. Momentary light affliction, but an eternal weight of glory. We're fully equipped to face everything with victory and triumph. So go out with that hope and that joy today. God bless you, each and every one. Amen. And see you Tuesday, 6 o'clock.